What's up, everybody, and welcome into the Under the Hood with John the Hood podcast. I am Jay Hood, and you say, "Well, where is Cousin Wiley?" You know what Cousin Wiley is? He is he's away. Let's just put it this way: he's away. I will not spoil where he is, but he's way out of the country, someplace. He just out of nowhere decided that he wants to pop up and just travel. He does this from time to time. He is a nomad. He's very strange that way, where he just kind of just like, "Hood, I just want you to know. I'm not anywhere around. I'll be back by the draft." Like, okay. All right, Cuzzo. Just whatever. Just, I cannot wait for everyone to hear the story of exactly where he is. I don't know if he's being chased by the police or not, or international spies, or just chasing after random loose women as he's going to do. But instead, we decide to bring in as our partner, CJ Taylor. From the CTJ Report. You can go to ctjreport.net. That's where you can find CJ Taylor. He's with us right here on Under the Hood. As always, sir, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, as always. Let's get to it. This is an exciting time if you're a basketball fan.
It is. I'm glad that you're here because Cuzzo Wiley is wild with his thoughts. I don't know where he is. It's strange, but we're going to find out after the draft when he returns to the country. Nonetheless, so tonight is going to be the Bulls. 8:30 start. And by the way, as we have our conversation, make sure that you put your thoughts in the comments, whether you are watching on Facebook or if you're watching on Twitch or if you're watching on YouTube, put your comments in the and we'll read your comments as we go along here on the podcast. So tonight is the night, the Bulls against the Atlanta Hawks. Now, I want to talk to you about this, CJ. But first, I have to be able to tell everybody that this podcast is brought to you by Wendy's. Yes, Wendy's. Okay. You talk about breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Wendy's is the spot. We'll tell you more about them later. But Wendy's is brought to you, is bringing this podcast together. Bulls at Atlanta tonight at 8:30. And we're doing a little bit of a preview here and some basketball conversation here under the hood. So here's what I've decided. I've decided to separate the art from the artist in this regard. Okay. We understand that Arturis Karnišovas, Art Carney, and Mark Eversley are not doing anything to help the franchise. They have not had a move of significance in 3 years. Think about this. How can you be in the job and not have any movement? A draft pick here or there, but as far as free agency, they haven't done anything. So that tells you all you need to know about the Bulls. But somehow, some way, 39-43 going into another play-in game. So I'll ask you, CJ, is it best for the Bulls to win this game? Because if they win this and they lose against whomever in the first round of the playoffs, you know that the management will say, "Look what we did. We were able to get to the play-in and get into the playoffs." Because I don't want them holding that up as a shingle saying, or as a meat shield saying, "Look what we did," because this ain't shit. This is not good.
I really don't think it matters whether they win or lose tonight. I think Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley are going to pull out the competitive continuity card regardless. They're going to say, "Hey, we were missing P. Will, you know, for the last half of the season. Zach's been out the last half of the season. You know, Andre Drummond is day-to-day. We've had injuries up and down this roster." Regardless of what happens tonight, that's the line they're going to use because, as you said, that for whatever reason, they want to stick with continuity. You remember when we were first introduced to Arturis Karnišovas and his whole goal was, "Hey, I want to return the championship luster back to the city of Chicago." Yeah. Talk about how he watched The Last Dance and all this other nonsense and how he wants to, you know, bring championship glory back to Chicago. Within, 1.5 years, it went from build to a championship to let's be competitive. How do we get to that?
That starts at the top with Michael Reinsdorf to allow this to happen. CJ, I just cannot believe that you come to the office every day, if you're Michael Reinsdorf, and says, "Yep, we're good. Because I think running an organization is more than just the bottom line. Yes, you're in it to make money. Mm-hmm. Absolutely you're in it to make money. But also, you're supposed to be able to win. I cannot go into these GM meetings or these owner meetings and be like, "Ah, Chicago Bulls, you were once great many, many years ago, but yet you're top five in attendance and you're great as, you know, as far as best in class service to the fans at the United Center. But it's got to be more than that. Like the one loss record at some point has to matter. I think that the return on investment for the fan is just not there if you're a Chicago Bulls fan. You might have a good time kicking it, but as far as the product is concerned, you're not trying to make it any better.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think the Reinsdorfs see the bottom line. They see their top five in attendance every year. They see their top five in merch sales every year, especially when you talk about the global angle. When you've got that money coming in and you're constantly, 39 and 43, 40 and 42, you might sneak into the playoffs, you know, you get to the play-in. For the Reinsdorfs, hey, that's it. That, you know, as long as the fans continue to accept it, it's going to be the status quo. Now, diehards like, you know, me and you, you know, we're looking at that. We're not watching, you know, we're not going to sit here day and night and get angry over this product because we deserve better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if the family of four can, you know, take their kids to the United Center, you're going to be entertained. They're going to be just good enough to keep most of these games competitive. But at the bottom line, this is not getting you anywhere closer to a championship. And I thought that's what we were in this for.
So did I. So did I. I look at this and I say, let's go through step by step, CJ, what's happened with this team. It's like, so Zach LaVine is injured and he's out for the year. And somehow, some way, the Bulls have to find a way to be able to find scoring, because one thing about Zach LaVine, Zach is for Zach. He's going to try to get his. It's not trying to make anyone better, but he's going to get his. But then they were able to cultivate Coby White and activate him and say, Coby, we know we didn't think much of you, but we're going to need you now because we don't have Lonzo Ball coming through the door, so we're going to have you as the lead guard. And Coby said, okay, I'll take shots. But it was easy. Now it's easy for Coby to be able to take shots and be a catalyst for the team with LaVine not being there. And so it's Coby, it's Ayo Dosunmu, it's Alex Caruso, it's DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic. And that's just substandard. Like, I've been watching substandard basketball. I've seen some great moments against good teams, but you just know, like usual, there's a ceiling to the success.
Absolutely. And you just hit the nail right on the head. It's just, how much longer are we going to continue to deal and watch this mediocrity? You can't just sit here and say, okay, we threw out Coby, and Coby, you know, for like a hot, 6 to 8 weeks, he was considered for sixth man of the year. You knew he was going to hit the wall because he's not used to that type of, you know, being that type of a volume scorer the way Zach is. Well, you know, Io's been able to step up, you know, the last 10, 15 games of the season. But we're just getting these bits and pieces. We're getting these, you know, like you said, little sparks. I mean, before the last 10 games, Vooch had been playing like ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now Vooch has kind of turned it up a little bit. You know, DeMar's going to be DeMar, but you can't get much more out of DeMar. Like, you have squeezed everything out of him that you possibly can squeeze at this point. And, you know, regardless, again, what happens tonight, if they play either against Philly or Miami in the next game, you've got some questions that you have got to get resolved. Like, are we going to bring DeMar back? He certainly wants to come back. I would understand why he could come back. You know, he can get his 20, 25 points a game, you know, be the man, be the mentor. I thought personally, hey, DeMar, just go get your ring, man. Go get your ring somewhere. You're not going to get it here. It kind of perplexes me as to why he wants to stay in Chicago. Coby, Io, you know, they can grow a little bit more. They could blossom a little bit more, but we know what their ceiling is as players. Vooch, you should have traded him before the trade deadline. Hell, you should have traded him before the season started last year. There's just too much going on, too much uncertainty, and I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel in regards to this Bulls team?
I just think they're just treading water. The only two things that you can hold up to this season is the development of Ayo Dosunmu and for mm-hmm. Kobe White. It's been Kobe mm-hmm. White season. But what does that really say? Like, I watch the league as much as anybody. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it comes down to difference-making stars.
Exactly.
And the Bulls don't have any. Like, as much as DeMar DeRozan, and I would agree with you that it's very odd that DeMar DeRozan wants to stay in Chicago. Like, it's very odd that you get that. Usually, mm-hmm. a player of his stature is like, you know, I really appreciate Chicago. My family likes Chicago. And what happens in the offseason, that kind of thing. I don't know what their plans are. I don't know what my plan is. But you just know you're the oldest player on the Bulls. And you know time is running out. And I'm mm-hmm. saying that in many situations, you were the third best player on a team. Mm-hmm. On this Bulls team, second best player on the team with Levine's there. So you mm-hmm. never really was the man. You've had more opportunities probably in your whole career to be the man with the Bulls, which says a lot about the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very interesting. Like, he's almost coming in at the end, and he's just kind of like, yeah, I'd like to come back. And that's very strange.
It is. It's completely – like, it just befuddles my mind as to why he wants to come back. Maybe the ring chase just isn't for him, which kind of speaks against how he has, like, played his entire career. You know, I know it still hurts him and haunts him that he wasn't there in Toronto when they finally did win that ring. It was at 2019, I believe, is when they won the championship. I know that has to eat at him. So it just kind of boggles the mind why he wouldn't want to consider, you know, going to a contender to try and get that elusive ring that will basically cap off what more than likely is going to be a Hall of Fame career.
I just don't understand it. So as far as tonight's game, here we are talking about the play-in game. And as we talk about this, we don't know if Ayo Dosunmu is going to play or if he's going to be limited tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Ayo Dosunmu has owned the Hawks. He's been a Hawks killer. He and the Bulls are 7-4 against Atlanta when Ayo Dosunmu plays. 11.4 points a game, 2.4 rebounds, 3 assists against Atlanta Hawks. Conversely, Trae Young with the good hair, 20 points, 13.5 assists against the Bulls this season. So he's been carving up the Bulls in a big way. Atlanta's not very mm-hmm. good. That's an underachieving team. That's why they're going to play the Bulls here in the play-in. And I think the Bulls can win, but I guess my whole point is this, is that if the Bulls win the game, then this is something for the Bulls to say, look what we did. Mm-hmm. And I want it to hurt a little bit. Like, here's what they'll do. If they lose, they'll say, well, look at how we played in the second half to be able to get to the play-in game. But these are all consolation prizes. I don't know if Connor Shelvis thinks that we're just idiots or thinks the press that covers the Bulls are idiots. But, like, we understand the championship standard. We live through the championship standard. We understand what you had to go through with Kerr, with Krause and Michael and Phil Jackson and Scottie Pippen and how those championship teams were built. We know mm-hmm. what that looks like. Mm-hmm. But for Connor Shelvis to come in, it's like, you know, we just want to be able to have continuity and like continuity, but you're not going anywhere. I mean, everyone knows that. But unless the ownership does something about it, it's going to stay the same.
And that's the bottom line. Let's take away the Bulls dynasty. When we talk about we know what championship basketball looks like, mm-hmm. we've seen Golden State and what they've been able to do in terms of building a franchise and then sustained success. The San Antonio Spurs in the early to mid 2000s, that's what sustained success looked like. That's championship basketball.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing with this? What are we doing? Like, this is the part that I don't understand. And part of me, I'm a Bulls fan, so of course I want to see them win every game. But part of me just kind of feels like, you know, would I really be that upset if Atlanta just comes in and shoots the lights out on the Bulls and they get bounced in this game?
And let it happen. Because, you know what's going to happen it'll be a gentleman sweep in the next round for the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever go, if they were able to do it, because kind of like last year, you just know that they were not going to be sustainable in the series, and they're going to lose.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it just, I don't know. So it's either Philly or Miami, correct?
Yeah, either Philly or Miami. So Joel Embiid is back, supposedly healthy. So you have to either do that or go up against Jimmy Buckets. And we know what he likes to do come playoff time. So pick your poison as to who, which one you want to face.
It sounds like Philly, but because Miami, I think, has fallen off some. We'll see how that development happens. But Jimmy Butler, let me tell you something. That's the dude in college, or that's one of your friends that you only bring around certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's into his country music and he's into his boot, his Michelob. Let me tell you something. Been to a mini hood party, okay?
Yeah.
Been to a mini hood party in this family. a lot of places that I've been. Let me tell you something, Taylor. I never saw in the cooler a Michelob.
Ever.
I didn't know.
Ever. We'll take it a step further. I don't even think you see beer at a party. But I don't know what Jimmy's on. Jimmy's on some different shit. That's all I can say about Jimmy.
I just it's who he is. I just think it's funny that because it just shows you that we as a people are just not one thing. Not one music, not one person, not one culture. Just this dude is more comfortable at a country music bar, right? And playing it on the plane as the Miami Heat travel and cracking open a can of Michelob and is good with it. I'm just like, you know what? God bless him. He's just special.
You know he's got that Cowboy Carter just on repeat.
Ain't no question about it, man. I love it. But I respect the players for doing the best they can, realizing that they don't have a go-to guy. And I put this all at the feet of Carlos Chovis Eversley and Michael Reinsdorf. Shout out to DeMar DeRozan for doing what he can. He's living his dream, man. As a go-to guy averaging 24 points a game, because Zach LaVine's hurt. Zach LaVine only played 25 games this season because of the injury. But there's no one to rescue you, the Bulls. Because have you taken a look, taken a sneak preview of the draft? Bro.
Ooh, Slim Pickens.
There is nobody.
Yeah.
I don't see any stars. And you say, well, Hood, and people say, well, Hood, there's always somebody. Well, that is true. There's always someone. But I'm just saying, like, it's not, like, stacked where the Bulls could be able to procure someone of great consequences that can turn the franchise around. Like, that's not happening.
No. You could possibly have a top five pick, and that's still not going to work out for you this year.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's not good. Did I mention to you, Mr. Taylor, that this our podcast is brought to you by Wendy's?
You did.
It's brought to you by Wendy's. Can I tell you about Wendy's? Wendy's Cinnabon Pull-Apart is the new go-to breakfast treat. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart. At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hour, Cinnabon and the Cinnabon logo are registered trademarks. Cinnabon franchisor SPV LLC. How about that?
Man, them Cinnabons, boy. They about to do numbers.
Don't think I did that off the top of my head. Of course,
yeah.
Old. You gotta write it down. So that's thank you, Wendy's. So that's the Bulls. I want to talk to you about the Renaissance and something new in the sports landscape, and that is women's basketball across the board. And I want to get your thoughts because I've been waiting for your column on this, sir. I've been waiting for your column. I've kind of just been waiting to go on there and see like your deep dive on the ctjreport.net about this. Before I go into it, I know that you're a big sports fan. You're a big pop culture fan. I know that. But what about women's basketball? I mean, what did you think of women's basketball or women athletics 5 years ago? And what do you think of it now?
So 5 years ago, in terms of the WNBA, it was I could catch it if I could, this wasn't like appointment television. I'll be completely honest with that.
Yeah.
What we are seeing now with, Angel Reese, with Caitlin Clark, with South Carolina's dominance over the last 3 years, with Caitlin Clark taking Iowa to the Natty, back-to-back years. Like, you've seen this resurgence, this interest. I mean, these girls are out here balling. I mean, this has become like primetime television. So it's great for the women. I'm ecstatic, that they can finally have eyeballs on them, on this product, because it's always been a competitive league. It's always been a good product, but for whatever reason, there weren't eyeballs to it. So hey, if it takes, a Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, type rivalry, to bring more eyeballs to the WNBA, I'm all for it. I know Diana Taurasi has been talking a load of shit about these young girls that's getting ready to come into the league
Yes.
now. So the veterans that are in the WNBA right now are chomping at the bit, to get at these young girls. And these young girls are like, hey, we need to show you what we've been doing in college and what we're getting ready to do in the WNBA. I will be looking to maybe get to some Chicago Sky games now that we've got Angel Reese, in the Shy. Now that we got Camila Cardoso in the Shy. I mean, you talk about a front court. Who's getting rebounds on them? Like, really?
Right. That's a great point. It's a great point. But I want to break it down with you this way. Okay. So watching women's basketball, from a college standpoint and a professional standpoint, the feeling for many years was, it's a slow down version of basketball. It's under the rim. No one's dunking. There's no highlights that you get out of it. For years, and I know you've heard this as well, high school, college, just uncovering sports, is the, it's more fundamentally sound than the men. And it always has been. The precision passing, the ability to make others better, making sure it's teamwork. I see this now on the college level, even away from the Power Five or some of the other basketball I see. I'm like, yeah, I mean, running the court, being able to do what needs to be done to be able to win ball games. Again, a lot more teamwork than just individual play when it comes to women's basketball. So I can understand why there were empty seats. I can understand why there were low ratings because no one emerged as a star that could surpass the sport. The reason why that I think that you and I and many others are into sports is because we're looking for people to transcend the sport that they're in, whether it's LeBron or Giannis, whether it's Mookie Betts, whether you go down the line of great talent. Patrick Mahomes, not only getting it done on the field, but also an entrepreneur, ownership with the Royals, ownership with the women's soccer team, all these things, right? Pop all of this. But no one really, you saw solid players. I mean, you and I can wax poetic for a while about Cheryl Miller, right? Like she's better than Reggie. And, like she, Reggie comes home. It's like, oh, man, I had a great game. And she's like, yeah, what'd you score? Man, I scored like 50 points. And she's like, for real? Yeah. And he says, how did you do? I scored 100 in a college game. I scored 100. Yeah. Because she was that special. But see, Taylor, it comes down to this. It comes down to who is able to look at the sport and say, I can be able to leapfrog what the sport is. So I will start with South Carolina and Dawn Staley. Let's start there. Because, but it's funny though, the narrative some places, right? Caitlin Clark has made a big difference. There's no question about that. But let's start first with South Carolina, Dawn Staley. Because Gina Auriemma, the head coach for Connecticut, ruled the roost for a long time. A long
Long time.
UConn women's basketball was it. But typical of college athletics, the coach was the face. Even though he had great players, the coach was the face. Ah, Gino, look what he's doing. Every year they're in the mix. Ah, look at Gino. But so he was able to cast a shadow over his own great players. Now, here comes South Carolina and Dawn Staley. And she's still not getting her flowers enough because now, even though UConn's in the Final Four on the women's side, here comes an undefeated team. there's all these storylines in college, women's college basketball, but the storyline should have been who's going to knock off South Carolina. And nobody did. Nobody did. And so they win the national championship. So it starts to me with Dawn Staley in South Carolina and their run of championships that they've won. In this era of portal, in this era of freedom of movement for college athletes, South Carolina's been able to last the test of time for now, winning multiple championships.
Absolutely. And all the credit, like you said, all the flowers has to be given to Dawn Staley and what she's been able to do with that program in South Carolina. Their last three seasons, Hoodie, 109-3. That is wild.
Crazy.
The type of dominance that South Carolina has had over the course of the last 3 years. I believe it's two national championships, Final Four appearance, the year that they lost. That is insane. In today's era where, like you said, you've got the transfer portal, you've got NILs, you got all these other things. What Dawn Staley has been able to do with South Carolina is nothing short of phenomenal. And guess what, folks? South Carolina is going to be right back there again next year.
Yes.
You know.
So I give them credit. Now we go to Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. Why was she special? First of all, let's give Dawn Staley credit. You know, South Carolina wins the national championship. What is the first thing she says? Thank you, Caitlin Clark, for helping put college women's basketball on the map. Because yeah. Caitlin Clark was special because this becomes the Steph Curry of women's college basketball. Mm-hmm. She could shoot it from the moon because yeah. she was just an incredible athlete. She was able to surpass, you know, and break all these records for scoring in college basketball. Caitlin Clark is special for that mm-hmm. team. But again, South Carolina gets their flowers first, but Caitlin Clark, it becomes must watch. She's mm-hmm. on TV. You got to watch her play. It wasn't even about Iowa. It wasn't even about her coach. It was just about what's Caitlin Clark going to do? How many she's going to put up? So she really helped in a big way. That's why she's the number one pick going to the Indiana Fever.
Yeah. And the spotlight that she was able to put on women's college basketball became almost divisive because you had at least one side just wanting to watch her just to see what she was going to do next, you know, what type of shooting performance she was going to do. And then you had the other side that, you know, why is she getting all the shine? You know, we got all these other great players out here. I want her to lose. But guess what you are doing? You know, you're watching. You either want to see her go all the way or you want to see her, you know, get her comeuppance in some sense. But she's bringing eyes to the game. And that's the most important thing. You and I are both wrestling fans. Doesn't matter, you know, what type of reaction you're getting. Are you getting a reaction? Are you getting people to watch you for whatever reason, whether they love you or hate you? Somebody's watching. And that's what Caitlin Clark has done for the game of women's basketball. That the belief is that she's going to be able to translate this over to the WNBA to bring more people in to watch it. I'm hearing rumors that the first Chicago Sky Indiana Fever game tickets are going as high as $1,200.
Yeah.
Like, like that's what exposure, you know, can do when you have these, you're starting to maybe for the first time really to have these larger than life, you know, type of stars, like you said, that transcends the game. And there have been phenomenal players. So you talked about Cheryl Miller, Cheryl Swoops, Cynthia Cooper, Maya Moore, like, you know, the list can go on and on. But I think with Caitlin Clark now, you have this one player that even if you've never watched a second of women's basketball, you've heard her name, and now you're intrigued and interested as to, you know, why is she getting all this buzz? Let me actually sit down and catch an Iowa game or now catch an Indiana Fever game.
Maya Moore, by the way, a real one.
Real one. Definitely real one. Respectfully. Real one.
She stops her career. She stops her career.
Real one.
She's hooked up with a man that has been incarcerated and says, I'm going to get you out of jail and we're going to get married. That's the real one right there.
That if you like that's the prototype of somebody that's gonna hold you down, right? Right there. Maya Moore, we salute you.
My goodness. So let me hit you with this this graphic. Bam, right there. Let me hit you with this graphic. So WNBA draft viewership. You saw how bad it was or how low it was in 2011, 2012. It took dips. It had ebbs and flows until we get to 2024. One of the so you think about almost, gosh, we're talking about right through the roof how many people mm-hmm. are in the NBA draft. So the official number is it peaked at 2.446 million viewers on ESPN. Wow. So that would be, sir, a 307% increase in viewership for the WNBA draft. Now, again, you know that the NFL draft, the NBA draft does numbers. The mm-hmm. NBA draft, in which is pretty, it's pretty clear who's going to go number one. People yeah. want to see it. 2.4 million viewers in an era in which everyone streams everything. And the mm-hmm. only thing that gets a rating today in television is live sports. No, exactly. no matter if your wife, my wife, or people that we know are watching Big Brother or Survivor, all these other little shows, that's fine, but nothing does it like live sports. So this massive increase, it marked the first time that a women's league drew more than 1 million viewers and easily surpassed both the Major League Baseball and NHL drafts, according to Austin Cole from Sports Business Journal, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, that is tremendous. That's outstanding. That speaks to... speaks to the type of stars that are getting ready to come into this league mm-hmm. and just the interest that is generating. So you talk about Caitlin Clark, you talk about Camila Cardoso. I mean, Cameron Brink is out there. You know, yeah. she went number two overall. Rekia Jackson went number four overall. You know, I mean, this is, if we're just looking at type of players and you talk about a stacked draft, yeah, this one's pretty stacked.
Yes. Like,
And the fact that the Chicago Sky were able to get, you know, two picks in a top 10 and to get that type of talent that they were able to get for Angel Reese to drop to number 7 and Chicago was able to get her at 7, that just kind of speaks to how deep, you know, this particular draft. And this isn't like, you know, the NBA, it's two rounds, you know, 30 players per round, 60 players. There are limited spots, you know, so these girls have to be good. They got to be talented because you're getting a limited spot that's going into a league, what, 12 teams in the WNBA? That's not a lot of spots, you know. So when you talk about the competition level, it is going to be intense because you got a veteran that's, you know, that's watching, you know, Angel and Camila walking in. Maybe they're going to be like, nah, you can't take my job, fam. You know, these training camps, you know, let's forget the games, these training camps with this crop, you know, that's coming into the 2024 draft, you know, these training camps are going to be intense.
I want you to think about it. And before I get there, just so we put a bow on this part of it, the Hawkeyes' victory when Iowa played against LSU in the Elite Eight drew 12.3 million viewers. Before that, record was toppled again by Iowa's Final Four win against UConn, which is 14.2 million that for that matchup. See, here's where baseball and hockey and golf are lagging behind. I saw just a cursory look, right? I wasn't looking it up. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of just going through and like, I know the Masters took place and Scheffler won, but there was a 10% drop in the Masters. Why? Because Scheffler looks like everybody else. He's mm-hmm. dominant. He's won two Masters green jackets. But the point is, though, is like, what makes him special? What makes him transcend the sport? Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a Tiger Woods, a mm-hmm. Phil Mickelson, mm-hmm. and a Steve Scheffler,
yeah,
or Scotty Scheffler, whatever his name is. That guy. So, but a drop in the Masters. I mean, really, the event for golf, baseball, and hockey the same way. So when's the last time hockey had a 12-3 or a 14-2 as far as million people watching? When's the last time baseball? No. When's the last time the World Series or any playoff games had a 12.3 rating or 14.2 million people watching. But then you have Stars. And by the way, I want to make sure it's also clear on this podcast as well. And I'm not speaking for you, but I think that you'd agree. Hey, man, no one's saying that college women's sports or college women's basketball is completely back. Not saying that. I think there's a handful of teams that we watch and said, boy, they really elevate the game. But they still have a long way to go to fill those seats and some of those other places where they were in the middle or to the bottom. But they certainly have great momentum that's left for them based on this WNBA draft class that just came out of college. They have momentum to keep it going. But again, it's star power first.
Yeah, exactly. This is set the foundation. Now, what they do with this, you know, going forward is what's going to determine if the women's college basketball, if the game is going to continue to grow. So they need to be invested in finding stars that, you know, with big personalities. This is what you've gotten, you know, out of the last couple of years in watching women's college basketball, is you've got these young ladies out here who, one, can ball their ass off, but also big personalities. And that's what's going to draw you in. You talk about golf. Can't remember the last time I watched a golf tournament. Now that Tiger Woods, you know, really isn't in contention anymore. Hey, when's the last time you watched women's tennis? Now that Serena Williams is retired.
I can't remember.
Every sport, regardless of what it is, you have to have star power. You have to have some personalities to draw you in, to make you want to watch that sport. That's why NFL is king, because even though they've got the helmets on, you know these star players. You know Patrick Mahomes. You know, same thing with basketball. You know LeBron. You know Kevin Durant. You know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know these folks. So that's what the women's game is looking to build itself into. And I'm excited to see if they can really get it done.
You know what? I did see a Coco Gauff. I did.
Coco could be the next one.
Yeah, I did. I had to go back and look. It's like, did I see a Simone Stevens or did I see a Coco Gauff? I think that I did.
Yeah, Coco could be the next one to kind of be that next great superstar for women's tennis. But, you know, you're only as great as kind of your adversaries is what made, you know, Serena must watch, because she had, you know, contemporaries that were also kind of had larger than life personalities. This is what you're hoping that the women's game of basketball is going to turn into. Just larger than life personalities that you want to draw into. But we've always known that they can ball, but now they're bringing this swag and this personality into it that is going to make it must see.
Your camera was off, but it looks like you're back.
Yeah, I am back.
But we heard everything you said, though. I heard everything you said. You also was looking at Sloane Stephens and believing that Sloane Stephens could be the
best. Hey, listen. I thought she was next. I really thought she was next.
So let me tell you what I've come up with. There is Angel Reese, okay, and Camila Cardoza, okay. These two did not like each other in college because they were battling. LSU against South Carolina. These two were battling, and now they're teammates. So I looked into those tickets, sir, for the Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky, and even for yours truly, a little bit too dicey, a little bit too especially like these resale tickets. I'm like, seems shady to me. Not so sure. I don't like that. I don't like doing that too much. So I was just like, no. So I do have some tickets to some games though. The Atlanta Dream.
All right.
And there's a Connecticut Sun later on.
Yeah, Connecticut Sun. Yeah.
I think so. And so I'm still going to start billing toward that. But, I got some tickets, sir, because I'm going to watch this. Now, the only thing is, like, Angel Reese and Cardoso, I mean, those look like two starters on this roster. I think Delino DeShields' daughter's back on this roster, too, because she was part of the team a few years ago. Now she's back. So, no, I'm checking it out. Now, here's the question. Will you take the family or will you take the missus to see one of these games?
If we're going, it has to be the family. I don't know if the missus will just go with me. It may just be me at the end of the day. Yeah, you know, my wife, she loves the NFL. Yeah. She'll watch some NBA with me, you know, but it's not really her thing. Football's her thing. She'll watch football with me all day long.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, see if she'll go to a WNBA game, but you know, she keeps giving me these looks. So I still got to work on her a little bit.
It's for work.
This is true. It is for work.
It's for the blog, isn't it? I mean, that's
yeah.
What there for. So she should be there to watch it. And plus, it's going to be just fun. It's going to be a blast. Amazing to look at the interest in the Chicago Sky and juxtapose that with the Chicago Bulls. Which one is not like the other?
It is, you know, now that you mention it, as you kind of put these two teams side by side, mm-hmm. you saw they won the championship, I want to say 2-3 years ago, 2021, I believe, when they won the championship. They tried to repeat. They just fell a little short. And then what did the Chicago Sky do? So, all right, we need to break this thing down in order to rebuild it. They understood the assignment.
Yes.
Meanwhile, you've got Arturis Karnašovas and Mark Eversley, competitive continuity. We want to be competitive and make it to the play-in game or maybe make it to the playoffs. Chicago's guys like, nah, we going to tear this thing down or rebuild it so we can get back into championship contention. Because we like that feeling of being, you know, a WNBA championship. And you know what? Damn it, we want it back. So
yeah,
that's how you do it.
I think it's Brianna Maxwell also from Gonzaga also was part of that draft as well as one of the guards that they picked up. But boy, you talk about size, Angel Reese, rebounding machine, Cardoso, rebounding machine, and can score in the painted area. That's mm-hmm. going to be tough, those two. Who's going to be able to get an offensive rebound between those two? That's what's going to be fun. So ultimately what we're saying is that you think about the Chicago sports landscape, and it's about star power, young star power, like Connor McGregor mm-hmm. Blackhawks, and Michael Bush from the Cubs playing pretty well early as a first baseman. Yeah. And Caleb Williams, who's going to be a Chicago Bear. Mm-hmm. And you see these two coming to Chicago Sky, and it's kind of like, man, the only thing that's left out is those Reinsdorf teams. Again, shocking, right? Shocking.
It's shocking. Just terrible what the Reinsdorfs have done to the Bulls and the White Sox. It's saddening, really, because those are, you know, the two teams that I root for, I mean, outside of the Bears, yes. The most. And to just see how far they have fallen, especially the White Sox. This is just, I don't want to talk about the White Sox. I really don't.
I understand. But they did score a doubleheader today against Kansas City. They did win. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's, I guess that's something.
They won a game against the Royals. Lastly, I researched this while you're working, Mr. Taylor. I researched this. Mm-hmm. In the right-hand corner of your screen here is a young man named Jonte Porter. Jonte Porter is the brother of Michael Porter from mm-hmm. the Denver Nuggets. Jonte Porter has been banned by the NBA, the Toronto Raptors forward, for allegedly betting on games, passing on information to gamblers, and claiming illness to influence a wager, according to the league. He's 6'10", and he is a power forward. Point is that his NBA life is over at age 24. Just put that in perspective just for a second. Just think about this. So here's a guy here that got into 11 games with the Grizzlies, you know, kind of moving around the league. And yes, you could bet on anything. Even Jonte Porter, a virtual nobody in the league. You're somebody when you get in the league, but you're not a difference maker. Let me put it that way, because I wouldn't be disrespectful.
Yeah.
The point is, though, is that you're in the league, but you don't make a major impact. And so because you are paid, by the way, you are paid.
Mm-hmm.
You still just need skin in the game. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm a bet on myself. So I know I'm not going to get any more than 5 or 6 points a game. I know I'm not going to get any more than 2 rebounds. So I'll just keep betting unders until I cash in. That's what he did.
Oh, this guy might be the dumbest man in the history of sports to do this. So he's got a lifetime ban in the NBA. I hope he knows Chinese or can learn Chinese very quickly, because if he has any aspirations of wanting to play professional basketball ever again, that is where he is going to be playing.
I mean, but how much of an idiot, Taylor, do you have to be? Here's the actual facts. This man, Jontae Porter, averaged in 26 games this year, 4.4 points a game and 3.2 rebounds a contest. Okay? Four and three. That was his numbers this season. This dude had an $80,000 online bet that was placed ahead of the March 20th game that he would underperform, which would have paid out $1.1 million. That was conspicuously large, and that's why that bet was frozen or not paid out. So his wagers on himself, knowing he's kind of a scrub in the league or just not utilized, however you want to say it, This dude that's on the screen right now, this dude, he placed wagers anywhere between $15, like some like you and I, $15, that's good. From $15 to $22,000. His wagers range from $15 to $22,000 at times, according to the league. None of those bets on the games in which he played, the league said, there were bets where there's parlays, which require multiple correct results, but he ended up profiting $21,965 from all his wages. All his wagers that he had, he ends up getting $21,965.
Would you happen to know, or did you happen to research just what his salary is? Because you did all of that for $21K.
Jontae Porter's salary. Please hold. So, don't know why it's switched off on me, but Jontae Porter in his career made $2.3 million since making his debut in 2021. So, according to SpotRack, he made $2.3 million. Can you do anything with $2.3 million?
I mean, you can do some stuff. I mean, you know.
Now
you should be all right.
Now, see, in Toronto, I think NBA players have told me you pay the U.S. government and the Queen. If you're working in Canada,
yeah,
you owe taxes twice, which is
yeah.
That's a bitch to do it twice. Yeah. That's why some are like, "Nah, I'm good. I don't want to pay for my working in Canada and working in the U.S. I'd rather not do that."
Yeah.
But this dude, $2.3 million is what he made in his career since coming into the league. And he won $1,000. Yeah.
Okay. He is the dumbest man in the history of sports. You can't be that stupid. I mean, if you're going to gamble, just go all out. Like, my return has to be something where you got to go, you know what? Yeah, that was pretty dumb of you. But you came out with, you know, close to 7 figures. Hey, I can respect it. 21,000 though. 21,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now he has been just banned from the league. Banned. Like he's just. But I guess I want to accentuate the point of how young he is.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, he's 24 years old. And that is the type of stain, you know, on your life that you have to live with. And you know how these internet streets can be on social media with this guy. That's gonna be tough for him. He's got to play overseas. He has to like completely get out of the country and just try to start a new life. Because if he tries to stay here in the States,
It's embarrassing.
it's not gonna be good for him.
It's embarrassing for him and his family. His brother plays in the league. And just, so terrible. Tell everyone about the CTJReport.net.
Just did the wrap up of very successful WrestleMania that happened, and before the week is out, I'll be doing the post-mortem on the Bulls. Win, lose, or draw, more than likely losing. and seeing what's next. And hey, the draft is the NFL draft is right around the corner. All indications are we're going to take Caleb Williams. Hearing rumors they may try to move up to see if they can get Marvin Harrison Jr. That would be like awesome if they actually did that to already add to the weapons that they have now. But the NFL draft should be, really interesting to see what Ryan Poles is going to do with that ninth pick. So, yeah, that's all coming up soon.
All right. And speaking of wrestling, since you brought it up, and I put the logo up, the Good Karma Wrestling, where you can, at some point, we'll have merchandise like this with Good Karma Wrestling.
That's what's up.
So at some point,
Yeah,
we'll
I've been waiting on the merch. I'm like, where are the t-shirts?
have that merch sometime soon. Sometimes the company moves slowly. But I will say, and I'll mention this again on social media, how much I'm appreciative of the growth of Good Karma Wrestling. As Brother Taylor would tell you, I've been talking wrestling for a long time, and my involvement with Good Karma Wrestling, as well as Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM, for those who don't know, it's all in the bio of this podcast where you can find me. As far as the wrestling content is concerned, we got over 1,000 subscribers now on the wrestling YouTube. Good Karma Wrestling is where you go. So that's great. And people say, oh, it's 1,000. You think about where we were, like the struggles in the Vince McMahon era of just trying to get curry favor, get people interested in our stuff that we do, podcast wise, YouTube wise. But we just reached over 1,000 views, and we thank you very much for your support over the years. The wrestling content I do, Good Karma Wrestling, is every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, on YouTube and also on our podcast. And I'm doing Busted Open Radio on Sundays on Sirius XM 156. That's where Busted Open is. And I'm doing that Sunday mornings at 9 Eastern and 8 Central in the morning on Sunday morning. So it's just great because wrestling has really been on the rise as of late. There's interest across the board. And so because of that, we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to our fans and our listeners. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you for doing GKW. It's been a great source of material for you, for us, the wrestling fans, and the work that you're doing week in and week out on that show has been awesome. The interviews that you had, especially leading up into WrestleMania, was outstanding. The Becky Lynch one was fire, by the way. I really enjoyed that interview. So yeah, keep up the great work, man. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Oh, I can give you a little behind the scenes with the Becky Lynch interview. So after we talked to Becky Lynch, the man, Becky Lynch, I told her, I said, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Tell your husband that the Bears are coming. And because Collins is a huge Bears fan, as you well know. And she's along for the ride. She has to be a Bears fan because of Seth. And she just rolled her eyes. She goes, I've heard it all before. All right. I'm like, no, this is different. Tell him that Jay Hood said from Chicago said that it's gonna be okay, that this is gonna be different now. And she goes, I'll get around to it if I get around right like that. She's so funny. She was so funny with it though. But yeah, so I sent a message. I said, hey, the man, send your husband a message that the Bears are coming. Caleb Williams. A new tight end, new wide receiver. It's going to be a guy on the left side of the defense soon. You know, these draft picks, we're coming.
You know, for and maybe, just maybe, Seth won't have to tweet every Sunday that he hates football.
Yeah. So I just saw behind the scenes. I don't think no one has heard that story. I just told you that story though, because I just came to my mind. That's why. Thank you, Wendy's, for having us. Wendy's Cinnabon Pull Apart is the new go-to breakfast treat. Choose wisely, choose Wendy's. New Cinnabon Pull Apart today at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hour. Cinnabon and the Cinnabon logo are registered trademarks of Cinnabon franchisor SPVLLC. Thank you, Wendy's, for having us. There's a burrito thing, too. It's a long read about the breakfast. But they do have the breakfast burrito. Would you like to hear about the burrito?
Why not? Let's go.
It's hearty. I'm not trying to read the whole thing, man. I'm tired now. I wake up early in the morning. But Wendy's breakfast burrito is hearty and delicious with 6 strips of bacon, seasoned potatoes, 2 fresh cracked eggs, and 2 slices of cheese all wrapped up in a warm flour tortilla. Check it out, your local Wendy's. And that breakfast burrito, fire, fire. So there you have it. Sir, thank you so much for filling in for Cousin Wiley, who's on the run. we don't know where he is. He texted me. He said he'll be back in town after the draft. That seems like it's a long time away. So we're going to find out his exploits.
Yeah, usually, you know, for those long type of absences, that's usually, you know, some type of illegal activity.
It's my family. You never know.
I'm not trying to put that on Cousin Wiley. I'm just saying, usually those type of absences, you know, lead to those type of things.
I don't know what's happening with him, but we'll find out next time we're together for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for watching and listening.